This Sunday after the celebration of the Easter mysteries, the first Sunday after Easter, by tradition is referred to as Low Sunday, an apt description of the conclusion of the octave of Easter in which we have been celebrating. Not to diminish the significance of this day, but to properly situate it in juxtaposition to Easter Sunday, the greatest day of the church's year, where all that the Lord himself had taught and said and witnessed to comes to complete fruition upon the cross and the glories of the resurrection. The Lord suffers and dies in order that we might live. And the church over these last 8 days has asked us to contemplate this reality every single day. The Holy Mass for the octave of the Easter season is the celebration of Easter Sunday over and over and over again. And in truth, the time that has been provided for us isn't truly sufficient to exhaust the fullness of the mystery that is celebrated. And the Church in her wisdom likewise understands this as well. The goal is not to exhaust the mystery of the Easter season and the glories of the resurrection, for this remains beyond the grasp of anyone, but rather to properly situate us now, as the Lord himself does in the Gospel, that after this period of contemplation, and through the period in which we were truly thankful for the graces that have been bestowed upon us, we now set our sights on taking this great mystery and sharing it with the world in which we find ourselves. 3 times in the Gospel, the Lord enjoins his disciples that they should be men of peace, a peace that he himself provides. This is not a peace born of compromise, or a peace born of indifference, or a peace born of resignation, but rather it is a peace that is extremely powerful and transformative, precisely because it comes from the side of our Lord and the sacrifice of his body. The peace he offers us is a peace that has now radically transformed the world and compels us to be men and women of that same constant and fervent peace. What this means for us, brothers and sisters, in the practical order, is that even if the world around us has not been changed, itself has not been transformed, even those with whom we interact, they themselves are not peaceable people, our faith compels us in the risen Lord to put that aside and to be men and women of a fervent and constant peace. We are never allowed to flag or tire in our efforts in order to advance the mystery and the power of the cross of Christ. This reality that we have been contemplating is the foundation of our very existence. As St. Paul himself reminds us, if Christ has not risen, then truly our faith is in vain. Why do all the things that we do if we have not found this most, or rather have received this most perfect confirmation of a life of faith, a life of sacrifice, a life of the cross that finds its redemption in the glories of new life? The Lord has conquered sin and death once and for all. And everything that exists, things seen and unseen, have been transformed in the mystery of the risen Lord. And so even death itself, sacrifice and suffering itself, the cross itself, can be means to deepen our relationship with the Lord and provide us with the constant peace we need to live rightly in the world. This is a difficult thing to do. It has always been a difficult thing to do. But I believe there something is slightly fractured in modern man that makes it a little bit more difficult for us to live in peace. Not only because of the violence that is clearly present in the world, but the disgruntledness with which so many of us live our existences. We're quiet about it, but certainly not humble about it. We grumble and complain and moan about our own existences or the interactions that we have with others or the physical or spiritual sufferings that we have to endure. And we do this over and over again, and maybe not in a public way, but certainly in our hearts. And we might even rail against God because of it. Why me? Why this? Why now? all the while anticipating or expecting that something should be different for me, as if somehow you are unique and special in all of God's creation, and therefore you should be exempt from suffering and the mystery of the cross. But if God himself suffered and died, if God himself mounted the cross to take all sin, past, present, and future, unto himself, why do you believe that you were somehow exempt from that same suffering? Especially now when it has been revealed to us that if and when we suffer with the Lord, we likewise share in the glories of new life that come from the Lord. Therefore, there is no fear or doubt or trepidation. There should be no disgruntledness or grumbling against God, but instead celebrating and giving thanks that we can be found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord, and in that suffering share in the triumph of the cross of Christ. Our hope is not in vain, because our hope is not among men or principalities or mights or this world. Our hope is in the one who has conquered all the aberrant realities that exist and has set the world on the trajectory that is truth that leads to the Heavenly Father. And so we live as men and women of peace, not merely the absence of violence and conflict, but heart speaking to heart, giving that which has been given to us, something of our own creation, because we are incapable of manufacturing this. Rather, we give that which has been given, the peace that comes from Christ, a peace that continues and is alive and real and true by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes our gospel, which also gives its name to this particular Sunday, Doubting Sunday, Thomas Sunday, oftentimes the energy is placed on the fact that the Lord says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe," which in truth is all of us. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that beautiful comfort that the Lord provides us through St. Thomas is preceded by this exhortation to peace. Be at peace. The Lord always says, as the Heavenly Father did throughout ancient Israel's sojourn in the desert, was to trust me. Give yourself first to me. And then in all of this, this peace that I provide, this peace that settles you, this peace that gives you strength, then you can find comfort and the ability to believe and put aside doubt. Of course, Thomas does believe because he has seen. But brothers and sisters, we too have seen the mystery of our Eucharistic Lord. Grace poured out upon grace in our own lives. If we can take a step back from being disappointed that I don't have enough and be grateful for the blessings that I have been given, we can see grace poured out upon grace and the way that God has continued to enter into our lives and to transform it. The way the resurrection has come to us and dispelled darkness and sin and doubt once for all. We don't have to take the word or testimony of St. Thomas, because God has continued to give us his testimony, his pledge, by giving us the gift of himself. When you come forward in just a few moments to receive living God, you are pledging yourself to put aside doubt, to put aside rancor, to put aside being disgruntled, to live lives as men and women of an abiding peace, to trust and have confidence in the risen Lord himself. And so while this octave day completes our contemplations of the glories of the resurrection, it certainly continues, or commits us rather, to an ongoing living out of this reality. Not only thinking about it and pondering it, but living it in every aspect of our existences. Is this a possible thing to do? And the answer is certainly and sure. Not because of what you can do, but because of what it is that God himself has already done. Put aside your unbelief and believe, because our Lord indeed has been risen from the dead. Alleluia, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.